In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All that Jesus does, he does for your sake. Everything. He takes on human flesh, was born of the Virgin Mary, in order to fulfill the law for you. Christ is circumcised, goes through all the temple ordinances, abstains from certain foods, and observed all the festivals and obligations in order to fulfill all righteousness for you. In the same way, he fulfills the moral law. He keeps it for you. He is tempted by the devil. He fasts, he prays, all for your sake. He does all that we cannot do, and most importantly, all that we will not do. He denies himself, and it is all credited to you. Not only does he perfectly fulfill the law that you cannot, but he also takes the punishment for breaking the law that our transgressions demand. This is what Paul means when he says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus Christ suffers the wrath of God and sheds his own blood that our sins might be forgiven and we might be saved. And so Jesus stands at the banks of the Jordan River. His cousin John the Baptist pours water over his head. Thus Jesus is baptized for you. Jesus does not need this baptism of John. As the scripture says, John's was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, for his own sake, did not need to humble himself and allow the murky waters of the Jordan River to dampen his brow, for he himself is holy. Jesus Christ, standing at the Jordan River, is truly the God-man, the Word made flesh. But Jesus submits to this baptism for you. The water does not make Jesus holy. Jesus makes holy all the waters. He sets apart all water for baptism. He sanctifies it. He uses these simple means, water and word, so that forgiveness of sins may come to weary sinners. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is combined with and included in the water. It creates and sustains the faith, which receives all of his benefits. Every Christian baptism is perfect. This water saves by the power of his resurrection. It unites you to him, burying you in his death, and you rise with him in his resurrection. You were baptized into him. His name was applied to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You now belong to him. His baptism, his anointing, his inheritance is all yours. So, as the heavens opened after John baptized Jesus, the Holy Spirit descends and the Father proclaims, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Identifying Jesus as truly God, you are made partakers of all that belongs to Jesus. You receive the reward of God's Son. There are those who would see the water being applied at the font and balk. They don't believe it, for they do not understand. It is not mere water. Water alone would only make you wet. And the Catechism anticipates these objections. It says, "How can water do such great things? It is not the water indeed that does them, but the word of God which is in and with the water, and faith which trusts such word of God in the water. For without the word of God, the water is simple water and no baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a gracious water of life and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Ghost. As St. Paul says, Titus chapter 3, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying." Through his holy word and water, God does wondrous things. And now the world may mock you. The devil surely attempts to have you disbelieve these things. The world and the devil would say, ah, but you are a sinner. Water will do you no good. You have broken the law. You must justify yourself. Show yourself worthy of God's grace and God's mercy. Dear Christian, know this. No one can accuse you. God's wrath has been satisfied. The demands of His holy and righteous justice have been met. Your debt is paid in full. Your sin has been atoned for. God has bled and died to secure it. You are free. But not free to go back to your old haunts and your old ways. You are free to go to the place the Father prepares for you in heaven. You are free to live your life under His grace. For as we have before testified, you are a member of the royal household, a sibling of Jesus, a royal priest. You feast on the heavenly banquet with the brethren, those still here, and those who have moved on ahead of us. You rest secure in the ever-prevailing mercy of God Almighty, whose mercy endures forever. Never say to someone, at such and such a time I was baptized, for you are not the ones who were baptized. Rather, you are baptized. You are made and remain clean and pure. One day it will soon be made clear. The world shall see you for what you are. You are one whom the Lord Himself has washed and made holy. But for now, the world remains fallen. There are tragedies, the ones we bring on ourselves and the ones suffered simply by living in an evil and perverse world. There are dark nights of the soul. There is anger, malice, and depression. There is the carefully hidden past, the turbulent present, the uncertain future. There is war, terror, and starvation. Spouses abandon each other and neglect their children. Pain, loss, suffering, and death are all around you. You turn on the television or read the news, and a harmless update of information may quickly cause you to fear. You may even look at your own life or your family and despair. But let not your hearts be troubled. Do not rest on the subjective, the things that come and go, the feelings of happiness or sadness, the sense of well-being and contentment, nor of worry or uncertainty. But rest on the objective, the historical reality of Jesus' death and resurrection and your inclusion in it in holy baptism. Trust in the infallible, never-failing Word of God. The words of Holy Scripture, yes, but also the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, the Word made flesh for you. There is your hope, and there is your certainty. You are baptized. God promises to love you and care for you, to protect you and provide for you. He Himself says, you are forgiven, and that is enough. And soon these true sorrows and tribulations of life lived in death will be removed. You will see clearly as you were meant to see. Then you shall be free inside and out as by faith you already are. Then your joy will be complete. Until then, do what He says. Eat His body, drink His blood, and listen to His word. Here is your strength, your refuge, and your fortress that will see you through to the coming day. It will comfort and console. It will feed and nourish. It will endure. For does He not promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age? Do not be afraid. The Lord your God, anointed by John with the baptism of forgiveness, crucified and risen, He goes with you. He will never forsake you nor leave you. In Jesus' name.